Hope you brought supper. The hymns in our hymn book on the subject of Christ coming again. Very sad in a way. So many of them mix the rapture and the second coming. And they'll talk about Christ coming, and you think he's talking about the rapture, and then he talks about power and great glory. And it's the second coming. Well, hopefully, from Brother Scott's teaching, you have understood the difference between the two. The rapture comes first, the second coming after. The rapture, we meet him in the air, the second coming, he comes, touches down on planet Earth. I have been asked to speak on the effects of the doctrine of the rapture on the Christian's life here on earth. Practical. What effect should this have on a Christian? We know the rapture. We know exactly when it's going to be, the day, the hour, the minute. Okay, so I was sleeping during Brother Scott's. Okay. But what are the practical effects it should have? Should it have practical effects? I believe it should. Number one, the redemption of the body. I look forward to the rapture. I'm going to get a new body. And as Brother Delaney said, my prospect is that the first thing I will see will be my Savior. Amen. And that can't be bad, right? In Romans chapter 8, and we're going to stay in the New Testament, but we're going to be all over the New Testament. Romans chapter 8, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. The whole creation does. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. What's the adoption? Read on. To wit. And what's the adoption? The redemption of our body. We are going to have a new body. And praise God for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Brother Scott had us go here. He mentioned the resurrection chapter. And it is. Verse 13 is the love chapter. 15 is the resurrection chapter. But now, verse 20. Chapter 15, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. The first fruits. Christ, the first one to have a resurrection body. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. All who are in Adam die, all who are in Christ live. But every man in his own order. There's an order. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. They that are Christ at the rapture. And drop down to verse 42. He's talking about what kind of a body we'll be in the resurrection. Verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. The body you have right now is a body of corruption. It's decaying. Getting older. Hair comes out, teeth come out. Aches and pains where you never knew you had anything there. It is raised in incorruption. Isn't that good news? Incorruption. No aches, no pains. If anything's up here, I'll keep it. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. We're going to have a body like our Lord's. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. That's what we have now. A natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Notice, it doesn't say it is raised a spirit. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. That's the one we read about in Genesis. Oh, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The last Adam. Adam was the fountainhead of humanity. The fountainhead of humanity. And because of his sin, it became a corrupt fountainhead. Now, verse 45 says, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Apparently, there's going to be another fountainhead, and that fountainhead is going to be the last one we need. And that last fountainhead of humanity is Jesus Christ. He's the last fountainhead because he's never going to corrupt. He's never going to go into sin. He's perfect. Verse 46. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterwards, that which is spiritual. The first man, Adam, is of the earth, earthy. The second man, Cain, right? Oh, the second man is the Lord from heaven. Yeah, but Cain was the second man. Why is he called Jesus the second man? The second fountainhead of humanity. Every one of us starts off in that first fountainhead of humanity, the corrupt one, Adam. When we are born again, when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we go into this fountainhead, Christ. We are in Christ. In Christ. When God looks at us, he sees Christ. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we sure have, haven't we? Still are. But what's our future if you're a born-again believer? We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Flesh and blood, corruptible. Corruption isn't going to inherit the kingdom. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We're not all going to die. Some of us will be here at the rapture. I'm trying for it. But we shall all be changed. Whether I die and go to be with the Lord in heaven, or whether I am here when the rapture takes place, I'm going to be changed. And so are you. It's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. That's the last trump for the church. Why? Because at the rapture, where do we go? We go to be with Christ, and we're with him from then on. That's what 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us. The last trump, the last gathering. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. The dead shall be raised incorruptible. Perfect. And we shall be changed. We get our new resurrection bodies, characterized by two things. Verse 53. For this corruptible, what I am now, must put on incorruption, what I'm going to have. And this mortal means you die, must put on immortality. You don't die anymore. We're going to have bodies that will not decay, that will not be defective in any way, shape, manner, or form, and we are going to have bodies that will not die. Forever bodies. Eternal life, right? So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. Kind of reminds me of up in the wilderness, Moses. Remember the serpents that bit the Israelites? And they died from the serpent bite. But God told Moses, make a serpent of brass, put it up on a pole, and when anyone is bitten with a serpent, if they look at that serpent on the pole, they will live. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of God be lifted up, the Son of Man, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. So the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The law was not our friend. The law was perfect. It came from God. It was perfect. Then what's the big problem? The big problem is the law may be perfect, but we're not. The law condemns us all. And that's why the law was given, to condemn us. The law was not given for us to show God how good we are. The law was given for God to show us how sinful we are. Why does God want us to see how sinful we are? Because if we realize how sinful we are, we may also come to realize we need a Savior. And God Himself provided the Savior. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, if we might go to Ephesians chapter 1. Beginning at verse 13. In whom, that is, in Christ. Y'all there? In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. What's that mean? Branded. You know how they brand cattle down in Texas? Oh, sure you do. Been there dozens of times, right? Okay. They brand cattle to show ownership. We are branded when we trust Christ as our Savior. We are branded with the Holy Spirit of promise. God gives the Holy Spirit to every born-again child of His. which is the earnest of our inheritance. The earnest, the down payment. The Holy Spirit serves as a seal of ownership. We belong to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit also serves as a down payment. A down payment toward what? Toward our getting a new body. A perfect body. We haven't got it yet. One of the reasons we need the Holy Spirit is to guide us into holy living. Without the Holy Spirit, we're just as sinful as we always were. The Holy Spirit works in us to desire good things, godly things, to want to shun and reject things that would pull us down. You know, you can argue about what things you should be doing, what shouldn't you, should a Christian do this, do that, do the... A very simple, practical guideline. Is it going to help your spiritual life, or is it going to hurt your spiritual life? If it's going to help your spiritual life, you better do it. If it's going to hurt your spiritual life, you better not do it. Okay? So verse 14, which is the earnest, the Holy Spirit is the earnest, the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. What is that purchased possession that has not yet been redeemed? Our body. Our soul and spirit, they have been redeemed. This body of ours has not yet been redeemed. But there's coming a day. There's coming a day. Unto the praise of his glory. Same book, chapter 4. And verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Just one of many verses that shows us the Holy Spirit is a person, not an influence. You can't grieve an influence. Ever stuck your finger in an electric outlet? The electricity isn't grieved at all. But I can't say the same for me. Oh, I could tell you stories, but not now. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You see, our bodies are not yet redeemed. The price has been paid. But we're still in this body of corruption, this body of mortality. Then if you would turn to Philippians chapter 3. And beginning at verse 20, for our conversation, actually that should be citizenship. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. That's the one we're in now, our vile body. It's sometimes translated the body of our humiliation. And it is the body of our humiliation. If you don't believe that, just take a walk through a hospital sometime. The body of our humiliation, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Christ's glorious body. We're going to be changed into Christ's glorious body according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And then, if we might go to 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Me in this stupid body of mine, a son of God. That's amazing and wonderful. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Stay right there. But we are so earthbound and so prideful. We want to know, in my resurrection body, am I going to be tall or short or thin or fat? Am I going to be good looking or I have no idea on any of those things. I don't know if I'm going to be young or old or what have you. It doesn't much matter, because I'm going to live eternally. If I don't start out old. And what's verse 3 say? And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And that introduces us to the second way that the doctrine of the rapture affects us, or should affect us. Brother Bruce mentioned earlier the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema. And we're all going to appear there. If you drop down, go to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And verse 10. Remember the old Bible drills? Who's the first one to find a reference you call out? Verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? Who are we to judge others? God has all the facts. We don't. Notice what it says then. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. If I have to give account of myself, I better be careful how I'm living, right? There are the very positive things we do, like being here today. Good for spiritual growth. Well, a week from Sunday, the Patriots are playing. Going to watch it? Notice all the uncommitted Christians here that don't want to admit it. Yeah, probably many of us will watch it. Is that good for spiritual growth? Not so much. We probably could invest our time better. Gonna watch it anyway? Probably. We're hooked. It's not sinful to watch it. It's just not spiritually profitable. Only time you hear the Lord is maybe a praise the Lord when the Patriots get a touchdown. All right. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Talking about the judgment. The bema. That's the Greek word for the judgment seat of Christ. The bema is where the judges sat for the Olympic Games. Verse 11, 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. What's fire do when it's put to gold, silver, precious stones? Purifies it. What's it do to wood, hay, stubble? Yeah. Yeah. The Roman Catholic Church have invented purgatory. And in purgatory, it's not the works that are burned. It's not the wood, hay, stubble that's burned. It's you. Praise God, I have a Savior who suffered and bled and died for my sins. My sins are forgiven when I trusted him. Verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. That's what the Bema was for, to reward the Olympic champions. If any man's work shall be burned, and notice it's the work that is burned, not the person, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So many more scriptures I could look at. The third difference the doctrine of the rapture should make with us, it is a time when we are going to be able to present to the Lord with joy those who we have brought to Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verses 19 and 20. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Paul had brought many Thessalonians to the Lord. He says, when the Lord comes and I see you in that crowd going up, I am going to be filled with joy. I wonder if there'll be anyone going up who will thank you because you were the one that told them of Jesus. That would really give you something. Look forward to the rapture, huh? That you can present that person or those persons to Jesus. A fourth truth, the rapture effect it has on us is the one Brother Scott brought out so well First Thessalonians chapter 4, the famous passage. I'm not going to read it at this time, but the choir has sung it, and just a wonderful thing that when a person dies, if they're a Christian, we know where they are. I lost my wife 11 years ago, but she had trusted Jesus Christ as Savior and sought to live for him. I don't mourn as other people. Matter of fact, I rejoice. I love for her to be happy. And I could never make her as happy as she is now. A fifth consideration in terms of the effects of the rapture on our life. Am I going to make it to the end? Absolutely, positively, if you're a Christian. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. How long? Until the day of Jesus Christ, until the rapture when we get our new bodies. But Hebrews chapter 10, this all sounds great. A new body. I'm going to seek to live for the Lord's glory while I'm here on earth. And then to present those that I was privileged to bring to Christ, to present them to him. The fact that I am comforted with the doctrine of the rapture. I'll see my wife again at that time. We'll all go up together. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Some understand that the rapture, some understand that the second coming. No matter which it is, we are in need of patience waiting for the rapture, right? Just because it's a good ways off doesn't mean it's not going to happen. And it may not be a good ways off. It may be right around the corner. We are going to get crowns at that time. The Bible mentions several crowns. I don't have time to mention them. But simply to say, the crowns are not, they are a reward. They'll be given to us at the Bema. They are a reward given us by Christ. But for what purpose? To cast them at God's feet. An expression of our love for him. Now, these crowns we get if we have lived for him. If we love him. But don't you see the wonder of it all? If we love Christ, really love him, and live for him devotedly, we're going to get those crowns. And we're going to be able to cast them at his feet. Lord, this is how much I love you. Whereas the one who didn't live for the Lord a whole lot, he may not get a crown. Well, Lord, this is how much I love you. You know, the one who really loves the Lord will have a way to express it by casting the crowns at our Lord's feet. These are some of the practical things. It should encourage holy, godly living. in every one of us. May that be our happy condition. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather here today to be encouraged in all of this. Now, turn the teaching of the rapture into an incentive for godly living. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.